Hello, and welcome to the Roving Social Worker Podcast. I am Jay, your roving social worker. In my last episode, I introduced the new series, Social Work Identities. Initially, the project's goal was to discuss individual social worker identities. This meant hearing from grad school applicants, current students, social workers in the community, our radical and rabble-rousing social workers, and our social work educators and leaders. So, in Jay fashion, I sent out a tweet and made a post in a Facebook group. The response was overwhelming. I never expected to receive dozens of offers and questions in a couple of hours. I had social workers in my DMs eager to join this conversation from around the world. So here we are. I am excited to make these connections. The two questions are, who are you and why social work? It is up to the individual social worker to decide on what they would like to share and where they want to take this conversation. There is no expectation for anyone to place themselves in a compromising position with their family, their community, school, or employer. Remember, this is a public podcast, and when things go to the internet, that is where they outlive us. But that's enough rambling for me. I will let my first guest introduce herself.
Hi, I am Sharla. I'm Sharla Yearwood, pronouns she, her. You can find me on Twitter at Sharla Yearwood. I'm a Black woman, and currently I am a clinical field faculty member at Indiana University School of Social Work. What the other question, other than who I am in general? Well, I guess I can also say I'm a mom. I have a 3-year-old, and I have one that I'm expecting here in the next month and a half. So I'm juggling several hats. And I'm also a social worker. So all those things, so many things, all at the same time. Jay asked me to share why I came to social work, why social work. I first started off with my undergrad wanting to teach, wanting to work in early childhood education. I'm still really passionate about youth and child development in general. But as I took classes and did internships and worked in those spaces, I realized like some kids don't eat. Some kids have other family challenges. And so I very quickly started looking at things systemically. And then as I took policy classes around teaching, then I started growing even more systemic and more systemic, and it led me to social work. Because social work is kind of the space where I feel all of my interests combine and come together. I kind of joke with people a lot of times that if I were a bank teller, I would still be a social worker because it's just like who I am. It's in my DNA. I can't turn it off. Sometimes it makes it very stressful because I can't. It's hard to do all that self-care stuff when like my personal interests align with my social work issue interests, and it's just all a big mess. I'm a social worker all the time. So that's like in general how I came to social work. My undergrad degree is in early childhood education, and then my master's from University of Tennessee is my master's in social work. And that's as far as I've gone as far as education in social work. I'm a systemic thinker. I like to look at systems. At first, I was really into programming. I still like programming, but I had a realization that we cannot program ourselves out of oppression. And so I really enjoy looking at systems, systems that we all exist in, and challenging those systems and doing the messy work of just challenging those systems, trying to make them as strong and as good as they can be, because programming, even therapeutic services, they have a limit within oppressive systems. And so I like looking at those systems and challenging them. Last big thing I want to make sure, if I'm going to describe myself as a person and as a social worker, is also that I center all of my work around Black trans women. And so I really believe that if we center life and work around the needs of addressing, ensuring the safety of Black trans women, then everything else just rises, and everyone else is in a safer position. So, always looking to advocate for, and when I say Black trans women, I mean all Black trans women, disabled Black trans women, able-bodied Black trans women who live in poverty, and Black trans women who are wealthy. They're all of them. So that's really where I kind of center my work around, and what I'm always looking to assess my work and is it supportive of Black trans women. And that's me. That's Sharla.
And I really appreciate you for talking with me today. I should have prefaced your piece with, Sharla didn't come to me. I came to her.
That's okay.
We had talked before about doing something together, and this kind of came to the forefront of things I really wanted to address. And I talked about that in the podcast, why I thought it was really important. And then it kind of exploded. I thought I'd get maybe three or four people like, yeah, I'll do that. And then I figured I'd just make all my friends do it. It's gotten a lot bigger than that.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you being open and willing to do it kind of on short notice. Is now you're a part of a lot of things. You're really engaged on Twitter. I know you're really engaged in community stuff. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Right now, as far as advocacy, other than my own work within my own workspaces, I'm also engaged and active in the social work cares, I guess, group movement. That seems too big. But they are at SW Cares on Twitter. And our intention and goal, Social Work Coalition for Anti-Racism Education. I think that's what it stands for. I hope I did that right. But in general, just looking to challenge, really moving from the conversation from diversity and inclusion to dismantling white supremacy and addressing the problem versus a symptom of the problem. And we really want to push in social work education overall and hopefully eventually into social work practice, but the education piece has to be there first, to get to a place where we are recognizing that diversity, quote, issues or a lack of diversity or a lack of inclusion is a side effect of white supremacy. Diversity and inclusion aren't the issue. Understanding different people's backgrounds isn't necessarily the issue. The issue is that everything that we already do centers on white people. And, you know, I'm, of course, I operate on a anti-Black kind of scale. So although I'm saying that about white supremacy, I also recognize that entangled in that is also patriarchy. Patriarchy impacts not just feminist movement and women's rights, but patriarchy also having a great impact on LGBTQ rights and all of those things. So all of those things mixed together right now, we are centering on white supremacy, because if we dismantle that, a lot of other pillars will crumble along with it. But I'm really excited to work with this group to try and address our own internal oppression within the profession of social work, because we have a long way to go and a lot of reconciliation and recognition of the damage we've done.
And I really appreciate you guys coming out and being vocal and doing this. I know other people are doing their own thing. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I'm a little more scattered, and that has to do more with my work. And then also being a grad student, I just can't join another group at this moment. But I've seen
a lot of change.
Yeah, and I've gotten that too. And behind the scenes, like, yeah, no, we get it. And then I also have chronic illness and that kind of stuff. And a kid. So, yeah, we're all on the same page. But I think in like the last 2 years, I've seen huge shifts in thought. And at first, there's a lot of resistance, and I've been caught up in some of that resistance and a little bit of back and forth. And then all of a sudden, oh, this is the new thing. Okay, well, that's great, because it's change. And moving forward, I want to just grab onto that. Okay, if we're willing to have these hard conversations and ruffle feathers and have hurt feelings, that's okay. Yeah. We're big kids. You know, we need to step back and just be like, you know what? You were right. I wasn't thinking about that thing.
And yeah, I really think that and believe that we are moving forward as a profession, although sometimes slow going. The social workers who are coming into education, we are a little bit at even a generational shift, a little bit of the way that we're talking about things, what we're talking about, and pushing the idea that, you know, social work needs to change and adjust and be ready for the next phase of who's coming. What issues are, you know, of course, the political, our current political climate also aids in that, but just getting to the next level of, okay, so what are we doing next in this new, kind of, in this new time period? What are we now going to address and what are we going to tackle? And I think that there's some really powerful things that are coming out, and I'm excited to see where we are as a profession in the next like 10, 20 years, because I think there'll be a lot of really good systemic change.
You mentioned generational change. By next year, 50% of the workforce will be millennials, which should be surprising.
No, it shouldn't. But I also think that you have to look at where the industries are for that, because I don't think that, that those numbers are represented in social work education, for example. That 50% is promising for me as a millennial social worker. But it still means that we're going to have some systems that we're still challenging, and we need, you know, to still have that change in tide, that handing over the baton, so that we can make some of the changes that we know to exist.
And some of the other shifts I think they're watching is both gender changes in social work.
Mm-hmm.
We lost, I think it was Gen Z was the last large group of male social workers, and they're aging out. And there's definite gaps in ages too.
I would love to see research and data on where we are as a profession as a whole, and comparing that with time periods for when people came to social work, because I did see recently that there is data to support that usually we've already been engaged in certain movements, bring about a surge in social work. People seeking out social work, things like that. So like this environmental wave might bring new social workers to our profession. I'm interested to see a comparison of like the feminist movement, who it brought, and if that's what we see now in leadership, and how those things continue to shape our profession. It's really cool.
It does. The NASW has a lot of that data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how it's collected. I haven't gone that far. I know I've just looked up kind of some of the abysmal statistics as far as it's like 70% white females.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that has to do with everything you talked about up to right. this moment.
Right.
So changing that, are we even opening up our profession yeah. and making it safe?
Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, I would guess that a lot of it has to do with the feminist movement, which then I think also has its own, you know, has its own culture. And how does that impact the work that we do now and impact the research and everything else? So all of that is just really cool thing. I encourage students, when I'm working with students all the time, we still have to analyze and assess the systems that we exist in. Just because like social work is awesome and powerful in a lot of great ways doesn't mean that we can stop assessing it and looking for ways that it in itself is oppressive, because we then become the system, you know? So gotta keep that. We can't put the macro hat totally to the side. Gotta juggle it all at the same time.
Yes, I agree. That's Michael's macro. Oh, I went on a rant about that today. So with that being said, I'm glad you and I are in the same group that's going to be able to see social work for the next 10, 20 years and probably still be in it.
Yeah.
I hope that we can both do great things together.
Absolutely.
And alongside each other.
I'm excited really about the new social workers coming behind us, behind the millennials. Lots of powerful voices.
I know. They're wonderful, especially the ones on Twitter that I've engaged with. I love speaking to them in class and everything. They're very intelligent, and they are the future. Our kids are always the future. Our new grad students, our undergrads, they are the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before I wrap this up?
Nope. If anybody has any questions for me, they can always feel free to reach out. I try to be a pretty accessible person. But no, I feel really good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. And that's it. If you need more Roving Social Worker, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at travel_MSW. Until next time, friends and travelers, this ends today's segment of the Roving Social Worker podcast with guest. Travel well and keep on traveling.